This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, CliffCentral.com. Tuesday morning. It's almost halfway through December already. People are winding up. It's probably the last week of work for some people. Huh? Closing shop.
If you're lucky.
Well, there are a lot of companies in South Africa. This is maybe something you can help me out on if your company's doing this, that give mandatory leave. In other words, they don't give you an option. You have to take leave between Christmas and New Year.
That would be so nice. Imagine someone telling you to not work.
Well, the reason they do that is because they don't want to pay you out for leave that you didn't cash in.
Yeah. They've got to keep it under control.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's a great badge of honor to say, I work through December. But really, what do you actually do when...
Anyone who tells you that they're at work in that week between Christmas and New Year and they're not in emergency services... is full of shit.
They're deleting old emails.
Yeah, they're watering the plants.
Yeah.
They're cleaning out their desk drawers, tidying it up.
Printing out new notices to put up on the walls.
Yeah, it's just a total waste of time. And don't pretend you're so hard done by. Because you're getting paid while everyone else is spending money that week. You're earning money.
It is rather fun, though, if you take leave in January. Everyone's back.
That's the best. And everyone else is like, oh, shit, we're back at work. And you go,
bye-bye, see you later.
I'm off. Lyle says, Leanne is divorced. Someone should snap that up. She is everything.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at you. They just love you.
Might bring in some mistletoe for you, too.
And somebody says, Sia, apparently Beyonce sang at the US wedding of Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra. Hillary was there as well. It was like their fifth ceremony.
Oh.
No? Guys, Are you sure?
I will
check
find
it out.
This.
We'll get to the bottom of this
story. It's a very powerful family in India.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Isha Ambani. That is the name of whoever got married and. Okay, so Isha Ambani and Anand Pirumal, they got married over the weekend. They had Hillary Clinton there. They had Priyanka Chopra and Nick Jonas. Beyonce performed she had a whole entire stage devoted to her.
Okay, here's the deal. Yeah. Isha Ambani is an Indian businesswoman. She's the daughter of Mukesh Ambani and Nita Ambani. And she is worth $700 million.
And that net worth just put an end to all of these conversations.
Now you know why.
Now with a net worth like that, you're able to get all of these people.
And apparently Aishwarya Rai was there, Karishma Kapoor. So it was like the Bollywood. Apparently Beyonce did come along and she did sing at the pre-wedding gala.
Sure.
Oh, it was.
Tell you what, the Crazy Rich Asians. Have you seen that show?
Yeah. Don't Indian weddings last for a few days?
Yeah, here they say it was a 4-day special extravaganza.
Wow. In Udaipur.
The catering company had to feed 5,100 people.
Jeez.
5,000!
It was like Jesus when he was given 2 fish.
I don't even know 5,100 people.
Wow. Huh?
What is the catering cost alone?
Yes, sis.
Huh?
I'd be so annoyed.
Wow.
Where do you park?
All right, so loads of people killing it this week and then getting out of the office next week. If you're one of those people and you've got your holiday plan and you've booked your accommodation, and you've sorted the car out, it's serviced, ready to go.
Oh, that feeling on the first morning.
It's the most exciting thing, just going on holiday. I remember when I was a kid, my parents would always decide to leave at, I don't know, some ungodly hour. Oh. They'd wake me up.
There were still crickets, yeah.
Yeah, they'd wake me up and I'd be like, why do we need to leave in the dark? What is this? Are we fleeing someone? Are they coming? Are the Nazis coming? Why are we leaving so early?
They knew that you'd go to sleep and they'd have at least 2 hours of bliss, quiet bliss, with Gareth just sleeping in the back.
Oh, do you think that's why?
No.
They always used to tell me it was because they wanted to avoid the traffic.
But I've driven at that time of the morning a long distance. And as soon as the sun starts coming up, you just want to sleep. Your eyes want to close. It's horrible.
But as well, it's hell because the sun is so bright at that hour.
Yeah.
As it rises. Well, because my family and I aren't doing Christmas together this year, I was talking to my mother last night and she was gloating. She and my father are taking a little vacation, the two of them.
Oh, look at that. That's sweet. And they've been married a long time. Isn't that cute?
34. 4 years.
That's amazing. And they're going year. To they're going on a little romantic holiday yeah, together.
Because their oh. wedding
bow wow.
That's nice.
Their wedding anniversary also falls 4 days after Christmas. Oh, that's so they're
really,
taking
that's really special. I
Christmas
like
the anniversary and New Year's even day.
I think that's amazing.
Very nice.
That's slightly nauseating too.
No, come on, it's beautiful. Would you prefer your parents be divorced and hating each other? Just, I promise you, ask any divorced kid, any kid of a divorced couple, if they'd prefer their parents to still be blissfully together. Of course they're going to say yes.
I just wish they didn't say nauseating things. It's just, my mother goes, yeah, you know, because your father's my best friend.
Oh,
I'm like,
my God.
Calm down.
You know, it's just beautiful. It really is. That's beautiful, Sia. What's wrong with you?
Is that how your mum talks?
And you are schmaltzy. You like this stuff. Oprah would approve of this.
Oh my God, she really does. Like, she has this way about her.
That's lovely.
Yes, yeah. Just take care of your sisters. We'll be fine as long as you guys take care of yourselves. We're just going. And
it explains a lot.
Yeah,
actually.
We'll talk to you in the new year then.
So they're not going to be with you guys for New Year?
No, okay. We'll see each other in the New Year. It's fine.
Nice.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll have another new little light lummocky brother or sister on the way.
That is conceived in the bowels of a 57-year-old woman not by the seed of a 60-year-old man.
That's possible. Will be...
Stranger things have happened. Brigitte Bardot.
Nielsen.
Sorry, Brigitte Nielsen.
At 54. She was pregnant and she gave birth at 55.
55, she had a kid. Oh. Imagine being 60 and you got a 5-year-old.
No, it's too much.
Have you ever heard Mickey Mouse Clubhouse on loop? Just 3 times is all it takes for you to lose your marbles. And you hear that squeaky voice at 60 years old as you're trying to sleep.
And you gotta really love that kid. All right, Spongile, who wrote Hakuna Matata on the board there in the back?
Oh. I did.
You did?
I was trying to, you know...
Is that your motto?
For December, yes.
No worries.
No worries for December.
Are you doing anything? Are you going away?
I'm still really trying to figure out my life.
Oh.
For December. Well, I'm trying not to go home.
TikTok, honey, you got like a week to decide.
I know, I'm just like, I can't make up my mind as to what I want to do this year. But, you know, at some point I need to go out vacation somewhere, I don't know.
You know what, I'm not going anywhere. I'm doing this wedding this weekend, which is a big extravaganza. It sounds like this Indian wedding yes. Beyonce was cool. Honestly, it's an extravaganza. There's an itinerary. I arrive on the Thursday.
Where is it, firstly?
In Plett.
Okay.
So which is the most awkward place in South Africa to go to, because you have to fly into George or into PE and then drive for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. You get there, then there's a dinner on the Thursday night.
Okay.
Then on the Friday morning, because there are a lot of these people who are very into their fitness, so on the Friday morning they're going for a run.
Do you have to?
No, you don't.
Oh,
no.
Thank
it's
goodness.
Not, are you kidding? This is not a concentration camp.
A bit dramatic of an example.
On the Friday afternoon, there's a lunch. Then on the Friday evening, there's some event as well. Then on the Saturday morning, there's some kind of breakfast with a view, or I don't know what it is. Then the wedding itself is on the Saturday during the afternoon, and then into the evening.
Yeah.
And on the Sunday, there's a lunch. I mean, it's just, it's an extravaganza.
Wow.
I mean, I suppose you've got to, with a destination wedding, you've got to keep people entertained, right?
Would it be rude if you
just
had
stayed in your hotel the whole time?
If you had said, when's the ceremony? I'm going to pop in and pop out for that.
No, I don't think you could do that. I mean, maybe you could. I can't. These are really good friends of mine.
It's happy times. It's great to be with them.
Yeah,
at the stage.
And you're with the same people. It's almost like a little holiday, you know, and that's my holiday. So I'm not going to go away outside of that. That wedding and the one that I'm literally flying in and flying out for.
Yeah.
That's it.
That sounds good.
The rest of the time I'm planning to be around. Mm. Are you doing anything?
No. I'm also staying here. I unfortunately have to work throughout.
Oh
right. You have that new client.
Shame. Yeah, that client who's put you on what? Probation. Oh, my God. Here's Leanne's theme music for her holiday. While you're on holiday, and getting your feet in the beach sand, Leanne is going to be slaving over a hot social media oven. Imagine anything worse.
Well, maybe next year will be different.
All right, well, there's a couple of things that we want to talk about this morning. Do you want to get into them? Let's start off with sugarcane. Well, we produce quite a lot of sugarcane in this country, don't
we? Yeah, we do. And quite a lot in the in this whole region, if you think of Mauritius and Madagascar as well.
Ah. So what about sugarcane? Because sugar's bad for you.
Sugar's bad for you, and what else is bad for the environment is plastic.
Sugar do 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 do, sugar do 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 do, sugar gives us energy.
Woo! I love sugar.
I remember that. That was a good ad. The fact that we all just suddenly spontaneously started doing it.
Well, anyway, right. South Africa's sugar cane is being converted into biodegradable bottles.
What?
Yes, the Air Water Company has announced that it will be manufacturing a 100% biodegradable bottle made from sugarcane as part of a conservation campaign it has launched titled Zero Plastic, Zero Harm, which aims to create awareness around plastic usage.
So what, they're going to make the thing out of the sugarcane?
They use special machines that extract water from air. That's what they developed around 12 years ago, and now they're moving on to this. If you, the CEO, Ray DeFresh, says, if you put the bottle in a compost heap, it will disappear within 150 days. It also adds nutrients to the soil, and if you burn it, it's a very good waste-to-energy fuel and is totally non-toxic. And the whole idea came about during the Cape Town drought.
Well, who could have a problem with that?
So everything of the bottle, from the lid to the label, is biodegradable.
From the lid to the label to the sweat runs off your balls.
Okay.
Isn't that how it goes?
I don't know. Maybe they should consider that as their slogan.
All right.
The manufacturing process involves sugarcane fiber and a polylactic acid, which guarantees that it's all biodegradable.
Biodegradable. Well, I got to play you something that is just beautiful. I know I'm late to this party, but better late than never. So that about, I don't know how many musicians, it must be like 100 of them, all of South Africa's greatest musicians in one room, all made a tribute to Johnny Clegg. Have you heard this?
No.
God, it's fantastic. So I'll try to name some of them as they step up to the microphone, but it's just beautiful. So it shows Jesse Clegg walking into this room with all of these other musicians. And then they literally start playing this song, and it's just magnificent. You honestly will, I mean, you'll love this. Listen to this quickly. And it's a tribute to Johnny Clegg, who, you know, he's got cancer, right? He came in and he gave us this incredible interview not so long ago, and I went to his concert, which was just so emotional. Had a whole lot of people there. Listen to this. So this is a whole bunch of South African artists in a tribute to Johnny Clegg.
Days that eat away.
Odd Matthews.
That every breath that I take.
Judith Sipuma.
Through all the nights I have.
Ross from Prime Circle. Some easy.
All the words.
Zolani.
Truth we have spoken. That the wind has blown.
Don't know who that dude is. Emo Adams, sorry.
Oh, it's only.
Karanzoid, thank you.
Here as the light of day.
We know him, right? Khan. There's a whole, like, it's a whole lot of them now that are singing. Beautiful. How's that, huh?
Goosebumps.
That's really pretty. I love Abigail Kubega and Madoli Radebe in the front there, just checking each other out, like, attitude. But it's beautiful. I mean, everybody's in there.
Even there's Patricia.
Patricia Lewis.
Lewis was there. Goeie genade.
She's great.
That's baie prachtig.
So apparently perfect. What they're doing is they are raising money for a fund created in Johnny's honor through the Click Foundation, which helps young South African learners. Supporting Johnny's passion for education, the fund will raise money to fight South Africa's education crisis. Isn't that nice?
Very good.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. And they really did get everybody they could into that room. It's spectacular.
Sure. Yeah, I wonder what went into booking everyone and making sure, because it was shot all in one place.
Beautiful.
Bar like three people, like Dave Matthews wasn't there, but he shot a video and sent it in.
Yeah, that was cool. Dave Matthews, wow.
There was someone else who...
Like Peter Gabriel was
Peter
there
Peter Gabriel,
well,
yeah. Yes.
Mean, Jesus. That's quite something.
Was Jesus there too?
Jesus was there as well. How did you know?
Goodness.
Jesus is always there. Hallelujah. Thank you. It's very We Are the World-esque. And it's very cool.
I love it.
Mm. Yeah.
Though you should let your parents have that for their little vacation.
Yeah. I was about to make a crass joke. Okay, well, I've acknowledged it, so I may make the crass joke.
Go on.
I don't want any reminders of them having to come this weekend.
I'm coming.
I don't want
all right,
any
so what a legend and talent. The song gives me goosebumps, make you realize what is important if you block out the noise. Yeah, and you see again, like all these artists coming together, suddenly you don't hear all that bullshit that you hear on Twitter and from the politicians every day. That's South Africa right there.
Mm. Who's your favorite on that list?
What, of all those artists?
Yeah.
I mean, I know some of these people, so I can't be objective. Hmm. Some of them are my friends, are good people. I mean, listen, you know, Jesse Clegg has got such a legacy there in his hands. I mean, he's a talented musician all on his own, right? And he really has done an incredible job of not living under his father's shadow.
Yeah.
But to be the heir to that legacy.
It's important. It's an important thing.
So, I mean, I've just hats off to him and whoever put this together, whoever came up with the idea. I wouldn't be surprised if Art Matthews had quite a lot to do with it. He is such a fan of Johnny Clegg's. Mm. And I know when we did the concert, when I went to that last concert, Art was there and he's been supporting Johnny throughout. He's just a major fan.
I wonder what song people are going to make for me one day.
None.
Oh, damn.
Well, no, I know. Who knows? Do you want me to play your favorites? Yeah. Yeah, the boob song.
Oh, that's true.
Yes, you've got a whole compendium of songs.
I'm not ready to go yet, but okay.
There'll be so many, but I mean, let's just... Here's one, for example.
Titties and beer.
Titties and beer, that's a good one.
Boop, 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 booby, booby, boop, 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 boop.
That's a real winner.
Some point up, some point down. Some ladies make them swing around. Some are big, some others small. I tell you boys, I love them all.
That's right, there's this one.
Show me a cha-cha, show a sweater, whoops.
Remember, people wrote these for you. Do you remember
I'm so
that?
I'm obsessed with them, honestly.
I know.
Boop, boop, boop.
Jugs and orbs and darts and gourds. Elmer Fudds and bouncing Buddhas. Sweater stretchers, lung protectors.
Yeah.
Beach umbrellas, frost detectors.
Yeah, so many songs for you.
Beautiful songs.
So many.
And there's the mammary glands one.
Yes, of course. There's this one.
When you walk in, you're gonna cause some issues. All that 14-year-old boys will need a few more tissues. Press on the news desk, so box them. The headline today reads, I wanna touch some great big mammary glands. I wanna hold them in my hands. With those great big mammary glands, I kinda wonder how the hell she stands.
It feel to have the whole of South Africa writing songs for you about your breasts?
I'm as red as a radish right now.
That's great.
Look, I still want to have you around for such a long time, Leanne, but I will perform this, you know, with so much of my heart in it.
Thank you.
So passionate about these
right.
songs.
Let's just, before we get too ridiculous, apparently there's a movie on Netflix. It's called Bad Match. Have you heard about this?
Mm-mm. I hadn't until now.
Yeah, so this is making people want to quit dating apps because obviously these dating apps can be kind of dangerous and people don't want to focus on that because they want to you know,
yeah,
get a hookup for the night or find someone that they might want to be around a little longer. But I'm telling you, it's kind of dangerous. So this movie is like a horror story.
Yeah, it is. It's actually a horror. And it came out in 2017, actually. But it's still hanging around and becoming more and more popular. Mm-hmm. In fact, here's how Netflix describes the movie. A player who uses the internet to facilitate his womanizing ways is tormented when he spurns a persistent woman who won't take no for an answer. Ooh. So it's actually the other way around to what you were imagining the horror was. It also boasts a 100% fresh rating from critics on Rotten Tomatoes.
Sure.
And I mean, that's quite something. So, yeah, if you want to stop yourself from clicking left and right.
Jeez. I'm not on any of those dating apps, huh? I won't go on them. Are you still on one?
I was on Tinder, and I think I silenced my profile or whatever it was. And Bumblebee, and I don't know how to get myself off of Bumblebee.
How's Bumblebee different from Tinder?
The woman has to make the first bit of contact, which, of course, I don't. I just go out of curiosity to see what's like.
I remember I opened up a profile once just because I needed to be able to talk about it on the show. I needed to know what it was, but it's there, and I don't even have the app on my phone. I mean, it's not even on here.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't know how to...
And I've been on a few Tinder dates.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How did they go?
Absolutely awful.
Sorry.
Really, the one guy he spoke about the benefits of ginger tea for about 45 minutes.
How did you match with a dude
while we drank tea?
Ugh. Shame, he was probably trying to be interesting, you know? It was like his thing.
Seems so fun.
And then I bumped into him in a work scenario. Oh, how awkward. He's like, how do I know you from somewhere. And in front of all of my colleagues, I had to say, We went on a Tinder date.
Oh no. So embarrassing.
No, just, and then another guy who took so long, well, he didn't make any moves anyway, but he had the perfect opportunity so many times, but he was just as boring as hell.
Mm.
All he wanted to know was what was Gareth Cliff like.
Really? I came into it.
While drinking tea.
Oh no.
What a great combination.
Well, then a really creepy guy who brought... with him, he said to me about 10 minutes into the date, he started reaching into his pocket.
Yeah.
And he said, I hope you don't mind.
I brought my little friend.
Yes.
What? And what was it?
He pulled out this little M&M character. And he said, this is Michael. Michael. And he said, and Michael says that you have very nice breasts.
Leanne, you are.
I'm not lying.
Why did you not drive him straight to an asylum?
That's unbelievable.
I was just so glad I was in a public place.
What?
And then he would say, like, later on, Michael wants to know if he can kiss your cheek. So awkward. So
awkward. How do you find these crazy lunatics?
Easy on Tinder.
No.
So this movie is like, this is for you, this is not so funny.
No. But
Michael, the little M&M toy.
No,
Michael wants to kiss your cheek.
Jesus.
Well, if you are on Tinder,
he's dying.
No, well, that doesn't sound very healthy. I wouldn't be happy about being around someone who's got a little character in their pocket.
Yeah.
Not
I date
good.
A lot, and I've never had any crazy experiences like that.
Another guy I pitched up at the restaurant, and he was wearing an orange robe. He was
a monk.
He was he was Buddhist.
A Buddhist monk.
Shaved head, orange robe.
Well, they can date too.
Well,
and glared at me when I ordered a glass of wine.
Leanne, are these not things that you establish pre the date? Like as you're chatting, like, hey, what are you doing
a
on
lot
Sunday?
Of people don't disclose
I'm going
this
to church.
Type of stuff.
Or no,
like, well, surely it's in your picture, though.
Well, this, to be honest, the Buddhist guy was before Tinder, it was another, like, online. Dating thing where you didn't actually exchange photos even. It was a completely
blind
date.
I need to give you tips on what to do. You never Google search these people? You never, as you're on Tinder, you take the conversation to WhatsApp, so they need to give you your number. Then you download the app called Truecaller. So
okay,
you take
and
the
I
number.
Are going to have to sit down.
Sia's got a whole strategy. Have you had successful dates?
Amazing dates. I'm about to go back to a former date of mine who's a doctor, because he told me the other day, yes, I'll be working through the festive season. And I thought, what a hero.
Sia's a what?
Professional stalker. Someone walks in here, Sia will tell you who they are on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat.
You've even pinpointed someone's location before.
Sia knows everything about anyone who walks in here.
Okay, so. You and I are going to sit down one afternoon with those berry vodka cocktails that you now make, and we're going to go through my Tinder.
Just give me like a name and give me one other arbitrary fact, and I'll be able to pinpoint everything about them.
Like the CIA.
So you guys have never heard of this app called Truecaller?
I use Truecaller.
Yes. So you're able to search someone's, you use a number, you search it, then we'll pop up with a name and surname.
Huh.
Once you have the surname as well, the world is your oyster. You can find anything about them. Oh, welcome to the bright side, y'all. I'll help you out.
No, problem is if they've got a really common name, like John Smith. I've had that before.
Then that's when you use facts like what area they're most likely in. If they work in Santon, you can go onto Instagram and geotag Santon with their name, and their profile will most likely pop up.
I'll embarrass myself by saying, how's work at the factory? And he'll be like, I never told you I worked at the factory.
That's your problem.
All right, I want to talk about Proudly South African. Let's get Nkosana and Tokozizi in here, and we talk to them about their businesses. Let me give you some background here. I don't know about you, but I've found all of these discussions that we've had about Proudly South African in the past few weeks quite inspiring. We've met people who have stories to share about rewriting the narrative of what it means to be truly Proudly South African. And this week is no different. We have Nkosana Mthimkhulu and Tokozizi Sibanda, who are joining us. They're two voices that are adding to our conversations around Proudly South African's festive season campaign with the message of buying local. So, Nkosana is a passionate and committed guy with a progressive agricultural transformation agenda that will help to create jobs and alleviate poverty, sustain food security. Those all sound like very good goals to have. The year was 2010. He began dairy farming, milking 30 cows and supplying the neighboring communities with fresh farm milk. As the demand grew due to its popular fresh farm taste, he decided he was going to go national. Now, that's incredible. First of all, welcome. Nice to meet you, Nkosana.
Good to be here.
Yeah, congratulations on your success so far. It sounds like you've had to do a lot of work to get to this point.
Yeah, it's been hectic. It's been really challenging.
Farming is hard, right?
Yes, farming, primary agriculture is difficult, and dairy farming is probably one of the most intensive sectors in agriculture. I mean, you're working every day, you're milking these cows twice a day. There's no holidays for these cows. They need to be milked, otherwise they'll get sick or they die. So you need to have your systems in order, because when I started, I made a lot of mistakes. I mean, I would work every single day, and I would give my employees their day offs and leave, but I wouldn't take leave, so I would burn out.
Eventually
I got into a system of learning that I too need to take a break, and you know, when I'm gone, someone must do the work.
So tell me about Southwestern Dairy. It's 100% black owned dairy business. It's a father and son duo, so it's Stephen and Nkosana, who we've got in the studio now.
Yep.
You guys have drawn on the experience of age on the one hand, and then energy and enthusiasm on the other.
I'm the energy, yep.
Yeah, as long as you don't burn out. In 2014, the company expanded its milking operation to secondary milk processing. There's now fresh farm milk from South African dairy farmers. You add value to the milk by producing products like pasteurized fresh milk, Amazi, yogurt, drinking yogurt, dairy blends. I mean, that kind of thing is really a... It's experience, it's hard work, it's all of that stuff, but it's also, you've got to love what you're doing, right?
Yes, you do, and I'm not going to lie, I don't come from a background of agriculture, and I'm not a tree-hugging, pet-loving, yada, 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 yada. So when I got into the dairy industry, I just went headfirst, and I learned as I went through, you know, magazines like Farmers Weekly, YouTube, True story. And you know, wow. Some small
wow.
Some small courses I did. And eventually, remember I said you're milking these cows every day, so they know you. You know them. You learn their psychology. And then fell in love with
Your cows?
Absolutely. They've got names.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You've done better than I did. The first time I saw where milk really came from, I stopped drinking it. I got such a shock.
I still drink milk like a baby.
Really? I'm not surprised.
I drink milk like a baby.
It's amazing. Yeah. Mtogozizi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too,
Colin. And you have a business called African Applied Chemical. So right. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, basically it's a business that I started whilst I was doing research in Germany. Mm-hmm. So basically we were trying to, you see, if you apply an insect repellent on your skin, it lasts for a very short time. Then you have to reapply it again. So we're looking at ways in which we can extend the effectiveness of that repellent, okay? Because if you keep on reapplying, it gets more and more expensive.
Yes, sure.
Especially for people, you know,
and
malaria.
And also people forget and all
they
that.
They forget and all that. And also it affects people who don't have a lot of money to keep on applying. So,
and we know that malaria still kills more people in Africa than anything else.
It's the highest killer, I think, in the world of people. So basically, we came up with what we call a slow-release technology, where we infuse the liquid in a fiber, and then we co-knit that fiber with cotton wool just to get a nice fabric feel. And we make textile products that are aimed at protecting vulnerable areas from malaria carrying mosquitoes.
So this is what you did your PhD in, right?
Yes.
You had the opportunity to travel to all kinds of European countries. You say in Germany.
Yes.
You had your thinking kind of fundamentally changed from being a job seeker to being an entrepreneur, and you came back with a different attitude to how you wanted to get going.
I think going overseas, you learn a lot of things of how other people are doing things. And if you look at Europeans, they have a lot of small businesses that occupy niche technology sectors. So I was quite inspired, you know, coming back to South Africa. We don't have a lot of that in this space for me to go in there. And driving technology and getting it into the market was a personal ambition of mine. So it's something that I took upon myself to say, look, this is the path that I'm going to follow.
It's very specific, but it's also something that there's a huge need for. So
definitely,
when you combine those two things, then you end up with a product that people really want. Yeah. And you guys patented this technology, right?
Yes.
So what can be made out of these fabrics?
Okay, so basically the problem statement when we do academic research, you know, you have to have what you call a problem statement. Mosquitoes that carry malaria will bite you on the ankles 93% of the times.
It's so annoying.
When you're outdoors. Okay, so when you're indoors, you can spray your walls, sleep under a net. But when you're outdoors, they just go for your ankles.
Why?
And scientists are trying to understand why. Some are saying foot odor. You know, everyone has foot odor at certain
foot
levels.
Foot odor. All right.
But also because I'm sure there's a lot of blood kind of pools down there. They always get me on the veins on my ankles.
Well, there are odor cues that we release that attract mosquitoes. Some people are more attractive to mosquitoes than others. Yeah. So no one really understands what's the combination of the odor cues. But the odor cues coming from the ankle and foot area are the ones that malaria-carrying mosquitoes love. Right. So the products that you can make, really, we're making insect repellent socks, ankle covers, and stuff like that. Yeah. Okay.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
that's brilliant. So give me an idea of how proudly South Africans help both of your businesses. Because I know you go ahead.
Well, I think for me, one of our objectives as a company is to get people to understand where their product comes from. And as consumers in South Africa, we need to fix the country. So when you buy milk, you should know that it comes from a South African dairy farmer.
Well,
and it's processed in South Africa.
Yeah, it must be scary if you getting milk from overseas and it's had to travel by ship doesn't last forever.
And there's a lot of that on the shelves, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So with that proudly South African, you know, consumers will know that this is a South African brand made in South Africa, South African farmers, you know.
It's going to be nice and fresh. It's going to be good quality stuff.
Absolutely.
And it'll be sourced nearby.
Yeah, and you can even go there and have a tour of the farm or the processing facility.
Now, that's pretty brave of you to open up your farm for people to have a tour, because a lot of people are nervous about that. You know, that someone's going to see that, you know, something isn't 100% right, or someone's going to say, oh, well, the cows aren't as happy as they could be.
Yeah, why isn't that cow smiling?
I mean, obviously, you know your animals are well looked after and your place is clean and everything else. So you're proud of it. To let people in there, that's a brave move.
Absolutely. I mean, hygiene is very important in the dairy industry. So we have the farm in the northwest and we have the processing facility in Pretoria. So in order for us to get the best quality milk, one, we need to take care of the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry, also where the animals live, their living conditions must be clean. And the condition of the cows, what you feed them, because it's not the cows that give you the milk, it's the food that you feed them that gives you the milk.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, you will get good quality milk. And even the condition of the milking parlor must be very clean, because if you don't clean it properly, then you're going to have a problem the next day. And same thing with the processing facility. I mean, the Department of Health, especially in Pretoria, they don't play around.
Yeah.
So if you
send in inspectors and all kinds of things,
you have
right?
to be confident that your facility is up to standard. And we are 100% confident.
You know, I'm so annoyed that the Guptas didn't give you the Estina Dairy, because you would have fixed that, man.
Can I tell you something? Back then, I sent them an email and I said, listen, me and my team will come fix this mess of yours for a fraction of the money that you've wasted on. And we'll actually do everything that you said it was supposed to do on paper.
And we would have,
but yeah, that's
we would have fed
story
and,
for
and,
another
and
day.
Given nutrition to so many more South Africans, and yeah. we would have had another profitable business rather than a failure.
Yeah, because I mean, the dairy industry for the past 10 years has been in serious trouble, because all the small and medium-sized guys have shut down. They've closed down. You know, the
is reason, that just because it's so competitive?
Nope. The reason why I was forced into processing, so I had an offtake agreement with Clover, and I'm not afraid to say the
sure.
name Clover. So one day they literally came and said, listen, we're shutting you down because we're focusing on for-profit business and income. So if you're not giving us X amount of liters on this route, we're going to shut you down. So thousands and thousands of dairy farmers, small to medium, have shut down. So now South Africa basically has a bunch of super mega dairies.
Yeah.
I mean, guys with 5,000 cows milking them two or three times a day, doing 50, 100,000 liters. So one of our goals and our purpose as Southwestern Dairy, we want to revitalize this dairy industry, because it has the potential to create so many jobs. You know, it used to be a thriving sector within agriculture in South Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got medium and small scale farmers all across the countries, we will provide them with a platform to supply us with milk.
It's brilliant.
And then we'll take
process
it to market.
It
because a farmer, a typical farmer, you know, especially in the white Afrikaans community, they just want to farm and do the farming and sell the produce.
They don't want to do the processing.
They don't want to do the processing. And it's a different industry in itself. So we're like, okay, you do what you love most, and we will take that milk and we will send it to markets and we will give you a fair price.
That's amazing. You know?
And we can negotiate prices, because in South Africa, dairy farmers are price takers. They get bullied by the big guys. You know, so Clover actually did me a favor, because now I'm left with these cows and I was able to get money because they gave me a contract, and I took that contract to the Department of Agriculture and they clapped their hands like, wow, you know, it's nice to see a young black farmer working with,
absolutely.
You know, white corporates. Let's fix this country, blah, 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 blah. Here's some money. Go buy some cows, go renovate. And we did that. And then next thing, Clover comes and they shut us down. So I was forced to sell to the communities. I was forced to interact with the Danish embassy and go to Denmark and learn how to process and get into the processing industry. And then,
so they did you a favor in the long run.
Yeah.
They didn't want to, but they ended up doing you a favor.
Yeah, so
well,
hopefully
that's very
we'll
impressive.
Be a good competitor to them in the near future.
Damn right. How many cars at the moment?
We've got 40.
That's a lot of cows.
We're also buying from local farmers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how about what Proudly South African has done to African Applied Chemical?
Yeah. I mean, it's the badge that matters. I think there are quite a number of South Africans that are patriotic enough to buy high quality goods made in South Africa.
Sure.
We need quite a number of companies to come in and make goods in South Africa. And then, you know, that's how we create jobs. That's how we grow our economy. And also, I believe that, you know, as you mentioned, big businesses, the economy is characterized by very big businesses. You don't have small competitive businesses. Mm. So probably South African gives us that marketing mileage. And basically, I think it will be easier for us to market our goods to people, you know, who to our intended market.
Wow. Well, congratulations to both of you on your incredible businesses. Yes. What do you think, though, is important for people to know about supporting local industry? Forget about your own businesses for a second. I mean, do you support other local businesses?
I always try to buy something made in South Africa. Yeah, I mean, I always look at, unfortunately, a lot of goods are made in China. Mm. But my eyes just spring wide open when something is made in South Africa. And I buy it with pride. Sometimes sure. It's a bit more expensive than the made in China, but the fact that I'm supporting a local industry, because it's a virtuous circle. If you support each other, then the economy goes up. So it's a very important thing for South Africans to first try to buy something made in South Africa before buying something that is made somewhere else.
You agree with that?
I absolutely agree. And also to understand that we do have a lot of quality in South Africa. Yes, there are chances and fly-by-nights, but there is quality in South Africa. And South African businesses cannot survive without South African people buying our products, you know? So, yeah, buy local. I don't mind sounding cheesy and saying local is lekker. So.
Well, you're a dairy farmer, you can sound cheesy.
Nice one.
What do you think people should know about acting on this campaign? I mean, it's the holidays now, you know, there's probably a lot of people who will be traveling around the country reminding themselves of why they live in this amazing place, and they might even drive past your farm, and then they get to see that there are things happening in South Africa that we should be very proud of. How would you like them to act upon that?
Well, that's I have to think a little bit on that. I mean, look, they say consumers are going to spend about 200 billion rands this festive season.
Okay? Wow.
It's a lot of money, and I think people should be conscious on what they spend their money on. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you spend your money on something that is made in South Africa, definitely you support a small business and you support jobs. So I think that's what people should be conscious about, you know.
Guys, well done. It's so lovely to hear about people who are making success, who are making strides, who are developing products, who are making the farming of the 21st century work and processing the stuff for people who just want to farm, and also creating new spaces in the market and providing products that are of quality. It's terrific. Yeah, well done to both of you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
It hasn't been easy, but
No, of course not.
I mean, business is tough, but it's worthwhile.
Well, if it's easy, it's probably worthless. I mean, nothing comes from nothing, right?
I am going to use that. Thank you.
Thank you both so much, and congratulations. Proudly South African, of course, and they've got a great campaign on at the moment. If you'd like to know more, you can go to proudlysa.co.za, or you can visit their online store for only locally made products. Go to rsamade.co.za and catch up with these and other Proudly South African conversations by visiting cliffcentral.com for all of the podcasts, and we've really met some amazing people. If you ever feel like you need to be inspired and you're tired of hearing people who complain from morning till night about how bad things are and how difficult things are, the economy, listen to these guys. These people are winners who are going ahead and making a difference and creating jobs and making the economy tick over. Those are the people we need to hear from more. Thank you both so much. What an absolute pleasure to have you here.
We're on Instagram and Facebook.
Go on.
Give Southwestern Dairies.
Southwestern Dairies.
Yep.
And are you on Instagram and Facebook?
Yes.
Dogo Zizi?
So, I think visit our online store on www.nobuzz.com. That's our...
No Buzz.
That's our brand, yes. For
I love it.
For insect repellent textiles. Twitter, it's at African Applied. That's our Twitter handle.
Thank you so much, both of you.
I promise to take you as you are.
Yeah, how do you like that? take you as you are. Rag and Bone Man. It is 7 minutes to 8 o'clock. Ah, beautiful. This is the best time of year, right?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
All right. So Riet says,
thanks.
I once befriended a man on a dating app. We talked online for a long time. He was an extremely pleasant and intelligent South African gentleman working in London. After a month of chatting, he suddenly out of the blue asked if we could courier 4 boxes of tools to my home address. Oh. He would pick it up when he came to South Africa. Red lights, hair standing up at the back of my neck. Needless to say, I blocked him. Riet. Yeah, because you know, she was probably on her way to being a drug mule or something.
Or if there were saws and all sorts of weird tools in there, like the ones, those pliers that pull off your nails and all sorts of torture tools.
Oh.
You guys have experienced things on these dates. Oh.
Leanne, you've had some serious, what horrible stuff has happened to you?
Yes.
I've actually been threatening to write a book about it because I have a friend who's had even crazier experiences. Oh.
I don't want to know. Well, I do. I kind of do want to know.
Yes.
But I mean, you've already shared so much this morning. We mustn't be greedy.
I could tell you one story.
Okay, one more.
All right, just one. Everybody, you got time for one? All right, let's go.
So she goes on this date, but he first. There were many bells that were rung that she should have stopped right from the beginning.
Yes.
But he said his car was in for a service. Could she please pick him up?
Mm-mm. Yes.
Then they got there. She got there, and he said, "Let's not go out. Let's just stay in."
Oh.
So they go inside. He says, can I offer you something to drink? So she says, yeah, that would be great. He says, I've only got vodka, and gave her neat vodka.
Jesus.
He then asked her, I think, to be quiet because his mom was in the house.
Oh.
I don't know. Eventually she decides to leave. He tries to make her stay, and she gets to her car, and he's walked her out, and they're standing in the driveway, far away from the front door. They're like in the middle of... there's space around them. And he gets down onto his knees and he holds onto her legs and says, please don't leave.
No.
She finally manages to get herself into the car. She gets into the car and she looks up and he's gone.
Stop it.
But there wasn't enough time for him to reach the front door in the time that she'd looked away.
Mm-mm.
So she had this idea that he was probably on top of the car. And so she drove away.
Oh, no, don't tell me.
And she started swerving to try and get this guy off of the roof, but he wasn't really there. It's just that he had disappeared really quickly.
Oh, wow, what
really
a horrible story. Oh, my God.
And that's one of the karma ones.
How does this stuff happen to people?
This cannot be normal. I have no words. This is just odd.
Oh, my God, that's fantastic.
No, it's awful, really.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
This shit happens, yo.
Never mind. People in relationships are lucky.
Be careful on these dating apps, especially over the holidays. When is the best time to be on Tinder?
So Tinder actually releases an annual report of their app and what they found out about users on their app. And according to their year in review for 2018, the best day and time to be on Tinder for the most swipes is actually Monday.
Hmm.
A Monday evening at 9 p.m. is the time where you are most likely to get the most swipes on Tinder.
Because you don't want to spend another weekend alone like you just did.
I guess.
Monday at 9.
That's
but also,
for connections.
On weekends, people are in different locations to where they're from. They're out at restaurants. So they might be in your area, but they're not from there. Hmm. So that can be deceiving. That's why Monday night would be best, because then they're most likely at home.
That's a good point.
Some of the other interesting facts that came out from this report are actually Jan and August are the months with the highest levels of user activities. And then understandably so, the likes of music festivals like Coachella also have a huge increase in users. And they have a top picks feature. This is when you as a user can tailor what sort of person you're looking for. And supposedly the top picks in terms of careers for that women look for are engineers.
Oh.
And men most likely look for adventurers in women.
Mm. So if you want to get extra hits, just say you're an engineer if you're a dude.
And if you're an adventurer.
Or a girl, just say I'm very adventurous.
That's the last thing I am.
Yeah, what is it? Adventurous? I wouldn't have thought that. But Monday night at 9 p.m.
All right, very good. This is important. We're going to be doing a series on human trafficking, which is fascinating. I mean, it's harrowing and terrifying as well, but it's fascinating. This is the second largest organized crime in the world, superseded only by drug trafficking. The harsh reality is that unlike most items, you can resell a person over and over again. And human trafficking is a real thing, from forced labor on farms, fishing trawlers, in domestic servitude, sexual exploitation on the streets, behind closed doors in illegal brothels. We see many forms of exploitation. Now, Tabitha Lager is a CEO, and she's the founder of Hope Risen, an organization founded in 2009 with a vision of spreading love, hope, and justice in the quest to end modern-day slavery and exploitation. And I got to sit down with her and chat to Tabitha about what they do at Hope Risen and how big the problem of trafficking is, particularly here in South Africa, but all over the world. And it's a little taste of what the series is going to be that we've got coming up. So I think you might enjoy this. It's very interesting stuff. A lot of it is hard to understand, it's hard to accept, it's hard to believe, but I think you'll find it very interesting. So all of that is on the way next. Cliffcentral.com. Stick around for Tabitha and Hope Risen and the first taste of a series that we'll be putting out in the new year about human trafficking. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Stick around for Hope Risen, and then there's a lot of good stuff today, including Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg and plenty more.
This is CliffCentral.com.